maybe at the end. But I'm very pleased to introduce Julia Watson, Professor of Comparative Studies, who will moderate the panel.
Thank you, Sally. I want to welcome you all here today to this session on women as agents of social reconstruction. As Sally told you, I'm in the Department of Comparative Studies in the Humanities, which at our university includes folklore, religious studies, comparative literature, science and technology studies, and American and ethnic studies. Where all things were at Ohio State. I'm very pleased to be here, and I want to introduce our panelists. Who will speak in a slightly different order than that on the program. Our first speaker sitting to my right will be Jamila Afghani, who describes herself as an Afghan woman activist and social worker and is the director of the Noor Education Center in Kabul. I'll introduce all three of you at once, and we'll go on from there. Next to her is Masuda Sultan, who was comes from an Afghani community in Flushing, New York, and has made a documentary film about the U.S.-Afghan war entitled From Ground Zero to Ground Zero, okay, and has just finished a memoir, which I'm, as someone interested in autobiography, very interested to hear about, called My War at Home, situating her struggles within an Afghani community in the U.S., as well as her interests and discoveries in returning to Afghanistan. That will be published by Simon & Schuster next spring. Our third speaker will be Marcia Mina, who works in the Asian Development Bank in Kabul as a gender consultant. She has studied law and social peace building and was educated at the beginning of the Islamic Revolution. Our commentator today will be Maria Julia. Is that true? Is that how we're going? Okay. We're having two commentators. I have to add to my introductions. Maria Julia, to the extreme right, is a professor in the School of Social Work. And sitting just to her left is Kathy Rakowski, who's going to share the commentary because Maria is a bit schedule challenged today. And Kathy Rakowski is, of course, a professor in women's studies specializing in development in Latin America. So without further comments, let me begin. Each panelist will speak for 10 to 15 minutes. This will be followed by a period of questions from the audience, and we'll try to stay on schedule and to focus our discussion around women as agents of social reconstruction. So Jamila Afghani.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you can... because I was eating very fastly. So I hope you can understand my pronunciation. It looks... the topic of today's panel... was shared to you by my friends, role of Afghan women in reconstruction. For the last 2 days, we are talking about religion, culture, civil society, NGOs, Afghan women, lots and lots. I was thinking that we also cursed a lot about our tradition and culture. And some of the problems we have in our community, in our society. But we should not forget that we have some good cultures as well, which we can use that culture for promotion of women's rights in Afghanistan, and lots from our religion. As you know, Afghan women has a very important role, being half of the society, being more than half of the society of Afghan community. Afghan women had taken very important role from the very, very beginning, and they have very important role today, as I said before. I'm very optimistic about Afghan women's future. I remember that time we were very young when we migrated to Pakistan, and lots of women we could see in refugee life and exile life. And these were Afghan women that could make possible the victory of man for defeating Soviet Union, a big empire of that time. They were not caring about their self, about their family, about their children, and they were struggling. And we have so many stories that how women could participate in conquering or in victory of that time. Of course, this was Afghan women, even in exile life, they start different projects to help their sisters in camps, in local areas of Peshawar, Iran, and different areas where Afghan women were living. And they were trying on their part to help each other. And it was the time of Mujahideen, which was civil war, and then after that, time of Taliban, which was great restriction on women to go out, to work out. But women inside their house, they were taking many initiative. They were running homeschools and they were helping each other. Although they were all the time facing different threats and different risks. But they didn't consider that important, but the help they were doing for Afghan women and for their community, that was really important for them. And right now, of course, you can see that lots of women are struggling. We number of women, a bunch of young women in front of you. It's because of our work that in community we have done. And lots of other sisters that you could not meet them, you might not heard about them, but they have very major role. Especially Afghan women NGOs. We should not take everything in a very positive sense, and we should not take everything in a very negative sense. I do not reject or object having corruption in the NGO level, in the government level, in our society. But still, we have those sisters who are working a lot and who are working a lot. You can have different sort of activities which is going on, especially in the women's leadership role and the women's grassroots activities, which is very, very effective. Like these are the women facing lots of difficulties. They are going to in a very far-sighted areas, which international NGOs, ISF, Afghan government has not access, and these are Afghan women. They are going in a very far villages, serving their sisters and helping them. And about the other point, which I should mention, that Afghan women is playing very important role, that is because of Afghan returnees. We have a bunch of Afghan women returning back home. And these Afghan refugee, Afghan returnees are living in a very devastated condition. For the past 3 years, snow, heat, all the time, teasing them. And they are suffering a lot. And we can have very little work from our government and very little work from our international supporters. But these are Afghan women that by their campaigns, by their donation, they're helping these women. In the field of education, I should mention that Afghan women has taken very important role. And they are trying to build up the level of education higher and higher. We have different sorts of programs like homeschools, literacy programs, catch-up programs. Whenever I have met different organizations, because I'm presenting you Afghan Women Network, which is consists of 72 women organizations. Whatever is our field, whatever is our organization standing for, everybody has somehow a bad program about literacy and their projects, because we women NGOs, we Afghan women understand the importance of education. And beside all of our activities, we have literacy program for our sisters. And as my friends were discussing before, in the era of post-conflict, which Afghanistan is passing through another time-tested moments of its history, Afghan women has taken very important role to promote other sisters, to give awareness to other sisters, to join social reconstruction, to build up a peaceful community in their house, in their society, to give the hand of, to help the other sister, to go for voting, to take their political participation actively when the time it was needed. And let me tell you about those sisters who took very active part in Loya Jirga, in the Conference of Bern, and the made-up of Afghan Constitution, which is our achievement, which is our victory. And also, I should mention about the parliament, that Afghan women are there and presenting 25%. Of course, there are areas that we still need to work hard to help each other and to build a better society. We should also mention about the role of Afghan women in economic situation as well. Afghan women inside their house, they are running different programs, home gardens, poultry farms inside their house to help their husbands in the economic condition of their family. And you know that how beautiful carpet are weaving by the hand, by beautiful hands of Afghan women, which is a good product, which is a good part of business of international community. Well, friends, there are many other areas that I may have forgotten, or which is not maybe in my list. Maybe later on my friends will share in that. But these are the areas that I'm going to share it with you, that we need to focus on them more than before. That is about the housing problem of Afghan women. Dear friends, lots of Afghan women are widows today. Lots of Afghan women are disabled today, but nobody has paid any sort of attention to them. Or if the attention was, it is very minute. We can divide these needs of Afghan women to be focused on in 2-3 levels, maybe. Responsibility of the government, responsibility of the international community, and responsibility of our civil society. So this housing, education, health facilities, national army, forces, police, highways, these could be responsibility of our government, symbolically. And more than not, implementation of law and order, giving security, finding job opportunities for men and women, providing shelter for returnees and IDPs, and especially for disabled women, improving administration of Afghan government, reduction of corruption, changing of attitude, traditional attitude of male administration of government, and also programs through media which gave awareness for our community. And role of international community, which should focus for strengthening the role of Afghan women in reconstruction, could be in a few points, like they should have longer projects for Afghan women. They should, besides running projects, build the capacity of Afghan women while they are going to depart Afghanistan. They should be able to manage their work. And beside that, as we mentioned it before, there should be in consideration of our culture and the culture of equality and peace and brotherhood. Unfortunately, through international donors, we are facing a major problem in Afghanistan, and that is worsening or widening the gaps between Afghan different ethnics. Like, some of the donors are supporting Hazara, some of the donors are supporting Tajik, and some of the donors are supporting Pashtun. Even some of our neighbors supporting different ethnic group in Afghanistan, which is creating more and more problem in Afghanistan, and especially for women. Of course, promotion of culture of peace, it will be very, very good idea through media, TV, radio, an international donor can play their active role in this regard. And our civil society, they should also understand their responsibility, and their responsibility is for reconstruction of their country and elimination of any sort of diversity or differences among each other. Especially, Afghan women can play, or the Afghan women NGOs can play a very important role in collaboration and understanding with Afghan government and with Afghan civil society as a whole. Awareness and capacity building are the two important roles for short time and for a long time planning, which we should have. If Afghan women or Afghan community is not aware of the realities or ongoing circumstances around them, how they can think of the next step, they should be aware overall. Promotion of programs for women and children according to their need, national and international community, our government, in short and in long terms, they should have in their mind that there are need of sustainable program for Afghan women and children. Long-term programs for development of Afghanistan is very, very necessary for education, for development of culture of peace and brotherhood. And we need solid strategies, and could be this solid strategies could be developed and designed by Afghan civil society and NGOs, and through lobby and advocacy should be presented to Afghan government. And if Afghan community, especially women, become one voice, they can impose, they can introduce that better strategies, better policies for women to our Afghan government. We should have skillful men and women, professional men and women, international community, Afghan civil society, and Afghan government for promotion of having manpower resources should collect their resources. And also, we need good programming overall for Afghan women, which is according to their need, according to their culture. As we discussed for the last 2 days, some of the programs, which is maybe designed with lots of hopes, maybe our foreigner friends are thinking of very positive effect of that, with lots of dedication, with lots of energy and power resource, it comes, but the result comes opposite of that. It's better that we should develop a strong communication. We should take in confidence of Afghan women and international community in first step, then international community, Afghan women and Afghan community and government in the second level to develop some better programs for Afghan women. So these are my points. I hope I have not taken more than 10 minutes.
Okay, thanks. You, Jamila.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our second speaker will be Masuda Sultan.
When you read my when you introduced me, you didn't tell me you were going to use the unofficial chat we had before. Which is fine. But I should also say that I'm with Women for Afghan Women and the Business Council for Peace, and I've been working on women's economic and political empowerment. Just want to add to that. My sister Jamila John talked about the role of women during the various wars in Afghanistan, and I think that I want to highlight some of that because I think it's often overlooked. I mean, you usually hear the story of the Afghan woman who ran the underground school, and what you often don't hear about is during all the years that the men were gone out fighting, the women had to help sustain the household and take on a greater role within the household. Obviously, in many cases, when their husbands or their fathers left for war, it's an extended family unit, so there were usually other men around, but there are also over a million, some say 2 million widows in Afghanistan, and a lot of female-headed households as a result of men being killed off in war, and it was during those times that the women had to take on a lot of responsibility for their entire families and sustain, you know, feeding their children and caring for their children and educating their children and other people's children as well. A lot of orphans that women have decided to take in and take care of. And so in terms of their role, I think we need to think a little bit beyond the sort of official roles that they've played, but in communities and villages everywhere, women are doing things to help build the social fabric of the society, which has been torn apart, that is often not, you know, documented, or that they would often not even think about as something special. It's just something that they're doing because they're helping their family, they're helping children, etc. And I've seen a lot of this happening in my work in southern Afghanistan, where women just see, you know, the children of their husband's brother, perhaps, or other extended relatives. They take them in and care for them as their own. So I've really appreciated that aspect of women's role. Also, with respect to the return of soldiers after fighting, this is another area that I haven't seen a lot of examination of, but how were all these fighters integrated back into Afghan society? Obviously, we know the Civil War, they weren't integrated that well, but coming back to families after having fought, and I think women have probably had to bear the brunt of that experience. And we know that when men go off to war and they come back, there are often lots of psychological problems and violence that can occur in the home, and this has probably only exacerbated the issue of domestic violence for Afghan women. So that's something that I would be curious to look more into in the future. Like I said, women have been reconstructing the social fabric of Afghanistan for you know, almost 25 years now, obviously before as well, but particularly during the war. When Afghanistan didn't have a functioning government, it was women's efforts as doctors and teachers and as organizers, whether above ground or underground, serving populations that weren't being served at all. No government to administer health and education. Women were doing this, like I said, in NGOs, and NGOs were the functioning, delivering most functioning services to people. I can give you an example. During Taliban times, I went back to visit family in Kandahar, and I was surprised to see that my cousin, my first cousin, Usi, she was a year younger than me, and she was in her early 20s, and she worked in a clinic administering vaccines to young children, and women also came to the clinic for gynecological services, and the clinic was on the outskirts of the city. And I went with her one day to sort of see the work that she was doing, and it was essentially a women-run clinic, although they had a male with them at all times. They had actually convinced the Taliban to allow them to keep running these clinics, serving populations coming in from very rural areas, including some Kuchis, or what we call nomadic type peoples. And they had been threatened in the past, driving. I mean, they had undergone a lot of experiences that some of my sisters have talked about, with awful experiences with the Taliban, but in the end had managed to allow them to persevere. And one woman said to me, she's a gynecologist, she said, you know, when the Talib said that you can't function as a doctor, you can't see patients, I said, what about your wife? What will happen if your wife has a problem? Who will she go to? Of course, they weren't allowing male doctors to see women patients, and so there was a need, and some women were able to convince the Taliban to allow them to fulfill that need. And so all of these things happening without a lot of sort of documentation or official recognition of it going on. And then, of course, fast forwarding to post 9/11 and sort of the new government, women have really been able to take a lot of those underground activities and bring them up. Women are running programs in health and education. I mean, it's an interesting debate that we're sort of having. We're not really having that much of a debate about women's role in, you know, are they naturally better peacemakers and nurturers? But from my experience, I would say that I feel that women are probably more inclined towards creating certain types of societies which nurture children in terms of health and education. And I think that that ultimately leads to more peace. We don't have enough women in critical mass to really understand the answer to that question. But, you know, there's research that shows that when women have earn income, they spend more of their income on the health and education of their families as opposed to other things. And just a very literal example is I was actually talking to my mother a few weeks ago, and my mother doesn't work and she doesn't have a source of income outside of my father. And I said to her, and she had told me that every woman should have a little bit of money stashed away. And I had heard this before. And so I asked her, do you have money stashed away? So how much money do you have? And she told me, and it wasn't very much, and she said, but it's not very useful anyway. I'm going to send it to Afghanistan. So, like, don't think that that money's going to be used on me. But so it gave me insight into how she was thinking, and I've heard this from women in Afghanistan as well, that their money is not really for them. It's for their family. It's for emergencies. It's for extended relatives, et cetera. And so I think that the way that they go about, women in general, Afghan women go about thinking about their societies and thinking about themselves is often in this very communal way, which is probably fairly natural to them. One other thing that women are doing, I talked yesterday a little bit about the moderating force that women are, moderating force to extremists and the Mujahideen extremists who are perpetrating a sort of fundamentalist view of Islam. Women are also opening up spaces for minorities. And one example of this is in the Constitutional Law Jirga. I heard a story from a couple of women who were attendees there. Interestingly enough, what they did was, in order to gain more support for women's rights, they were able to negotiate and bargain with the Uzbek community, the Uzbek ethnic group, for they negotiated getting women's rights with agreeing to recognize minority languages in certain areas. And so there was this negotiation that happened, and both sides got what they wanted. But in the end, the women said that they realized if they aligned themselves with some of these minority groups, they would be able to challenge the traditional male authority structures, which the majority population is Pashtun in Afghanistan. And in some cases, when the minorities and the women unite, they can actually outnumber the traditional male delegates. So I thought that was an interesting strategy and one that can probably be used moving forward. I feel like I'm a little bit random in my thoughts here, but I wanted to highlight a couple of different things that I've seen. And in terms of strategies, the other thing in terms of women's reconstruction is that the spaces, women don't seem to have that many spaces where they can congregate, public spaces. And this is one of my main concerns in terms of women's role moving forward, is that in the United States, you know, women have been able to sort of come out of, in Afghanistan, women are very much stuck in family. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm being very articulate today. Women have very little opportunity to interact across ethnic lines. They often don't travel. So if they're in a village, they're very much connected to their extended family. And some women, for example, a woman that that I met in Kandahar had not been outside of her home except for immediate relatives in over 20 years. And I only found this out when she was coming to an event, and she said, this is the first time I'm out in 20 years. And so the ability of women to interact, and this is, we talked about unity or the lack thereof, and we talked about the ethnic issues. Well, part of the reason that we have these problems is that women and men, for that matter, have not been interacting across a lot of these levels. So how do we create spaces for women to interact which go beyond family connections and tribal connections and ethnic connections? Interestingly enough, my mother also talks about the imam going to bathe in public places in Afghanistan and how that was a scene where women were able to interact and talk and joke and share gossip and news. There's some opportunity for spaces like that. I mean, in the villages, I also know that women go and get water together and talk in, you know, those places when they gather wood. At mausoleums, and now we're also seeing some women's gardens being created in certain areas. Women have also said in Afghanistan that women normally don't go to the mosque. And so women have said to me on this last trip that I had this September that they're talking about creating a mosque where women can actually go and pray. And that really, to me, is a very powerful thing because they can, you know, they can really use the power of and the strategy of Islam to create a space for themselves. And it's not, you know, there's no ethnic basis, there's no language basis. And if done in the right way, if done with the inclusion of different voices and different types of women, it can really be a powerful force. What in terms of long-term and short-term goals, I guess in the short term we've talked about, you know, the very basic needs of health and education, the high maternal mortality rate, the illiteracy rate, as John said, over 83% illiteracy rate for women. We have so many problems. Just feeding people is a problem, you know. If people don't have their basic health care, how can we even start to think about some of the bigger issues and policies with respect to, you know, numbers of parliamentarians, et cetera? For an average woman in a village, her immediate concern is feeding herself, feeding her family, and not dying. So those are, in the immediate sense, the problem is we have all these urgent needs to take care of. But in the long term, what we need to be focusing on is creating the capacity, as has been mentioned over and over again, of women to be able to address these issues, and men. But also at the policy level, it really seems like there's not enough being done. And we haven't gotten into a very deep discussion about the Ministry of Women's Affairs, but it did come up that they're functioning more as an NGO. And that's certainly been my observation, despite some great leadership attempts, I should say, and despite the desire of the ministry to be doing more, it really is not a powerful ministry within Afghanistan. It seems to get much more attention outside of Afghanistan than it does within Afghanistan. And the need for that institution to be more of a policy-making and policy-influencing institution. And the Minister of Women's Affairs, the current minister, Minister Jalal, has said to me that she is working on the strategic plan, and she wants to make sure that the ministry in 10 years there'll be no need for it, and that it'll disappear because, you know, gender will have been mainstreamed in all of the ministries, and that's a great hope. But long term, we need to really be thinking of how do we begin to put the pieces in place and start developing the road to women being integrated into all aspects of life, but from coming from the top down. Because I do believe in the bottom up, but I also think that it has to be coming from both directions. And so how do we put pressure on those who are paying lip service to women's cause, but not really putting dollars behind that lip service? And I'm not just talking about the United States, but I'm talking about inside Afghanistan. You know, in the Ministry of Urban Planning, how many women are there? Why don't we have, you know, why don't we have full female integration into that ministry? Let's not talk about one ministry for women's issues and everything else is sort of out of our domain. How do we get ourselves into the centers of power? And long term, my own vision, my own goal is, I think that, and Marzia John mentioned it before, unless women have financial independence and unless women have access to real economic resources, I don't think we're going to get anywhere, short term or long term. And so for me, the question is, how do we get money in the hands of women? And how do we make sure that they have access to those resources on an ongoing basis, not only to feed themselves and help them get their own health care, but to support politically other women and other voices. Women did not have enough money to campaign. They didn't have, some women didn't have, who wanted to run didn't have enough money to, the $200 or so it required to run for the Willis Ejurga, they didn't have. So there's a lot of potential there, but without the dollars behind it, it's just talk. And so that's what I'd like to think more about in the long term.
Okay. Thank you. Our third speaker will be Masriya Mina.
Before to say something on the role of women as a social changing agent, I would like to say something as a icebreak. I know that you are too tired from our faces, and we will inject you Afghanistan name for more than a century. You heard lots of Afghanistan name and Afghan problems and so on. I do know that you will not forget us anymore. First of all, I want to thank God and first Ohio University and the organizers that they do not invite Afghan men. Otherwise, we will not alive anymore in Afghanistan. And there are still some concerns that technology is a headache for us, and maybe most of the people will already emailed about the outcome of the conference to the Afghan men. But honey, Afghan women are really brave women. As Marzia John mentioned, that we say goodbye with the majority of our good values. It is not easy to have win-win situation in Afghanistan. Whenever you win something, you have to lose something. But if we want to win something, we have to lose something, even if we lose our life. But we would like to have a positive change for Afghanistan, and particularly for Afghan women. The previous sessions mentioned a lot about the problem of Afghan women to be as a peace agent. And you can manage that how Afghan women has difficulties to be an agent of a social peace. Again, we have a challengeable role and a zigzag way ahead of us to be in a leading positions as a Afghan woman leaders and as a to be in a decision-making level. It is really, I know that it is understandable for you that it's not an easy task. But as Jamila John mentioned and Masuda John mentioned, and you heard during the last 2-3 days, there is lots of hope and lots of wishes. Just I do not want to repeat the things which my friend says, just I would like to focus on some factors as a motivations for Afghan women to push them or to motivate them to be a social peace agent. You heard a lot about the outcome of the 25 or 30 years of civil war. You heard about our Islamic and cultural values, both good and, I cannot say bad, values, and also you heard about the international assistance and effort, international community assistance and efforts, and finally you heard about the Afghan woman needs. These are the strongest indicators that motivate Afghan women or to push Afghan women to be in the front seat and to be in the front line for a social change. As my colleague mentioned, that although we have a very challengeable role because our culture still push or emphasize to gender stereotype role, still our people do not want to that woman to be an activist agent for the social change. But Afghan woman already is one step ahead and take the lead. It's really a honor for us. I remember that after the fall of the Taliban, I met one of Afghan woman, military official by the name of General Khatul. My Afghan colleague knows her. After the fall of Taliban, I saw him with his beautiful uniform, military uniform, that she was walking around the street. And most of the colleagues and most of the Afghan men and women told them that you want to kill yourself, crazy girl, just remove your uniform and tell that the time is not ready, that you should walk around of the city and the streets and show to the people that you are a military Afghan woman. And she mentioned that I do not care about it, just I want to show to the Afghan women that use to the opportunity and do not be again the victim of the war, or do not be again the victim of the woman wants and woman wishes. Right now, General Khatul is a great woman, military woman, that she is working with our army as a parachutist. She is the only Afghan woman that she is working in the military as a parachutist.
Parachute.
And after that, there is another example. This is really a great achievement for Afghan women to accept a woman after a very dark situation as a military Afghan woman with the uniform. Most of the colleagues push him to use just a unmilitary uniform, but still she is insisting that no, I feel more happy when I have my uniform with me during my official time. We have General Haziza with the Ministry of Interior, that she is the human rights deputy of the Human Rights Department of the military Ministry of the Interior. She is another sample of the social change within a very challengeable way. And as Jamila John mentioned, that women had a strong role during the presidential election and the parliamentary elections. It was out of our expectation to reach 10.5 million people during the civic education and make them ready to go to the voting center and vote. And the majority of the peace educators were women, and most of them were school teachers. Although working in the remote area was not an easy task to go and give some civic awareness for the people and motivate them to participate in the political process, but women took that risk during that time. Right now, you can see that most of Afghan young women working with the aid agencies, going to the field and operate at the field level. Although the majority of them is targeted during the political process and after post-election process. Right now, while the women go to the field, particularly with the international missions or international colleagues, they were targeted. Marzia Basel is another good indicator for a social change with the legal system. She has a very challengeable life. These are the good indicators, and we have lots of other indicators with the health sector, with the education sector, with the economy sectors. I think we have right now the women business councils that most of the Afghan colleagues or international colleagues want to bring women in the business and make them empower and just motivate them or push them to stand on their own feet. So lots of activity and initiatives are going on to to use woman, not use the woman. Woman already is as a part of that society, and they are ready to be in the lead or to be in the front seat. But unfortunately, due to some issues, they were unable or they were not able to be a part of the peace and reconstruction process of Afghanistan. As my colleague mentions, that always we are suffering from the granting and the implementation of the law and procedures. And especially Sally mentioned about the UN resolutions 1325. I think this is the good time to implement that UN resolution in Afghanistan to make involve a woman in peace and reconstruction process. And somehow the initiatives are taking already that we had some workshop and conferences to introduce the UN resolutions 1325 to Afghan women and men to make them aware about their role, important role during the peacemaking or peacekeeping or peace and reconstruction process. These are the good indicators and the motivators that already women are in the front seat. But I hope that, again, we do not have some other problems to limit Afghan women activities as a social change agents. As my colleague mentioned yesterday, Marzia John, that the future parliament is a bit concerned for us, that maybe it creates some problem for the future of Afghanistan, as we are aware that already the majority of them have some plan or some decisions to make separate classes at the Kabul University for boys and girls, which is another concern for us in the future, or they are going to make a uniform for the women, that women became again limit, even they cannot have their choice to wear the dresses that they want. These are the deep concerns that we have at, from the future parliament. But as I am in the direct connection with Afghan women, or have a strong interaction with Afghan women, I see that Afghan women are really strong, and still there are some networking is already going on to make a unity among the Afghan women and make a challenge for the new parliament and make them ready for the parliament in case of such kind of rule or procedures. So the women should have a strong stance for the future of the women in Afghanistan. These are the good green lights for Afghan women to be the social change agents, and I hope that even if the international organization or even particularly OIO University has some program for the Afghan women to work with them closely, I think there is lots of hope for you to start and particularly empower Afghan women for a very challengeable parliament in Afghanistan. Regarding the short-term and long-term goal and objectives for social change in Afghanistan, I think we already mentioned about the duplication of the programs, coordination among the implementing agencies and donor agencies. We emphasize too much on effective communication between different stakeholders and international community and so on and so. I would love to have like a short-term program objective or long-term objectives for Afghanistan, that each effort should contextualize within the our national development strategy, which really responds to all needs of Afghan people. And which is give response to the MDGs that Afghan people are working on, target settings and the objectives makings for the MDGs. if you work closely with different stakeholders for the implementation of the national development strategy, it works a lot. It gives you more idea to how you should work closely with Afghan community, because we had a good national development strategy. And the problem is that the majority of the stakeholders, they do not know. There is lack of understanding with the intergovernmental document within the stakeholders. They do not know what says our laws, what is in our procedures, and what is in our laws. If they just spend some of their times and read these beautiful books and chapters, I'm sure that they will benefit from it. And Afghan people really work a lot, especially the civil society and the NGOs work a lot to develop a good national strategy program for Afghan people for the upcoming years, mostly for 2015 or 2020. If we use these documents and to be committed for the implementation of these documents and the promises, I think that we will have good outcome and good goals for long-term and short-term of Afghanistan plans. But before these things, very important things that we needed for even for the short-term and long-term goals of Afghanistan, that we have to focus it on it. This is the vision building, building among the Afghan community. Unfortunately, we do a lot, but we don't know how we will stop and how where we are going. Still, we are suffering from the shortage of vision building. Unfortunately, according our custom and according our traditional, most of the time the people are just accept to that Allah is kind and they will do nothing. If they ask them that you have 2 hours, that what you will do during these 2 hours, immediately they cannot tell you a proper plan that what they should do within 2 hours that they have or what they can they do at the next month. It is important to create a culture of vision building among Afghan people to at least see the social changes or the policies or the programs according a common interest or a common goals, and they have a proper vision for their country. These are the things that I just had to my colleagues say.
Thank you very much, Masriya. On that note, I think we should turn now to brief comments from our discussants in whatever order they want to proceed. I'd like you to save much of our time for questions from the audience.
Okay, I only have about. Okay, good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me. I only have a few minutes before I have to be somewhere else, and I apologize for that. But I am I'm delighted to be here, and it doesn't cease to amaze me how different and how similar we are across nations. And that is particularly as it affects women. Anyway, I have
this. You need to speak up because this is for recording. This is not for.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I feel a challenge after listening to you. I have been involved in research with women in countries after periods of war or during war. Most recently, I worked with El Salvador in Central America. I worked with Kuwait and with Somalia. And I was writing down all of the similarities in terms of the problems of education, the problems of work, the problems of housing, and so forth. But what struck me the most is the differences between some of these countries, particularly as you're presenting your situation. In the case of the countries that I have studied, one of the things that tends to happen is that after the war is over or after the conflict is over, women tend to return to the roles they were previously playing in society. And that's being very clearly the last study. We just concluded the study in Kuwait during the Iraqi occupation, and women in most instances return back to the roles that they were playing prior to the war. Another big difference that I notice in your situation is let me see how I phrase that. The situation of the donors. You are talking about donors. It doesn't matter. During the war, in my experience, the donors, yes, they provide resources to different groups, even if they were in conflict. But what's amazing is that you still have the donors there. While in some of the situations, like in El Salvador during the Civil War, the donors just disappear. The peace treaty is signed, and probably is the time when the donors are needed the most, and they disappear. You are in your struggle to develop policies and that will affect women in your countries, while in some of the other countries where they have gone through a civil war, the political parties involved after the war include women in their platforms, but that never becomes implemented in the reality. So it's really impresses me how there are some things that are not happening in your situation that are happening in other countries. Well, some of the things that are happening with you are exactly the same as in other places. The only other comment I want to make, and I must go, or the lawyers are going to kill me. The other thing is how, when the men return from war, while the men have been gone, the women take over. And even though they approve that they prove that they can do it as well or better, when the men get back, they go back to the traditional roles and are displaced by the men again. It's not necessarily the tension and how men reintegrate into the community, and this happens more like, it's more likely to happen in refugee situations when the refugee returns. So it's, I wish I could stay. I really appreciate being here and being invited, and I'll be happy to meet with you afterwards. Okay, I'll be back. Thank you. Thank you.